Okay, good morning. We're continuing with the Shmuzim from Rav Shimshon Pinkus of blessed memory. We're on the Shmuz that's called Yesod HaYahadus Keshar Levim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the foundation of Yiddishkeit, this connection of the heart, of our hearts with Hashem. And we're presently on page Resh Nun Vav, in the middle of the page, the subcategory of Matanos. And to this point, we're trying to understand the concept of Korbanos. It's a very important concept. It's a very popular concept in terms of it being out there, but not very well understood. And so far, the Tzaddik has said that the definition of reality is one's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and without that connection, you really have no reality. And if you don't have that, you're no different than an animal, as he quotes the Rambam. So, and then that's in terms of all human beings, but a Jew has this deeper connection, the fact that there's this unbelievable love that Hashem has for us. So now we're on Resh Nun Vav in the middle, subcategory called Matanos. V'nei, kishyesh kesher bein shnei anoshim, when there is a relationship between two people, yesh dvorim shemachaskim es hakesher, there are things that strengthen the relationship. Echad mehem hu matanos, one of them are gifts. Nisinas matanas mekasheres meod. The giving of gifts helps strengthen the relationship a lot. And in the brackets, he says it's a good idea to know that small gifts to children or to a spouse very much strengthen the relationship between them and makes a tremendous help in that relationship. So, yeshnam shnei suge matanos. There are two types of presents. Yesh matana v'yesh doron. One we will call a matana and one we'll call a doron. And what do those mean? They're both in Hebrew mean a present, a gift. But there's differences. There's no two words in Hebrew that mean the same thing. So, matana ze al derech hapshat. A matana is understood in terms of the simple meaning of a gift. We'll explain all this. And doron ze al derech haremes, and a doron is more in terms of symbolic. One is practical and one is symbolic. Ube'etzem anu chayim ba'olam shukula shiluv shel pshat v'remes. And the truth of the matter is, we live in a world that is totally overlapping levels of practicality and symbolism in many ways. L'mashal, for example. Kesha'adam nosei matana kamo eit o mapas shulchan. You give someone a gift, like a fine, expensive pen, or you give them a tablecloth, or things like that. Ha'eitu bishvil lichtof. The reason you give the pen is because you could write with it. Ha'mapa kedei lichsois. And the tablecloth is to cover the table. V'chein holan, etc., etc. Matanos ke'ela nosnim l'misha kesher ito hu al derech hapshat kmo kesher im chaver. Those gifts, these practical gifts, are generally given similarly to the relationship, that the relationship is a practical relationship, such as one with a friend. Okay. Adam tzorech haverim, a person needs to have friends. And therefore, friends give gifts to each other from time to time. But these gifts are mostly, primarily, in the realm of practicality. And you get them something that's a very practical kind of gift. Right? You're invited to someone's house for Shabbos, so you bring them a practical gift, so to speak. So that's one realm of gift giving. But there's other relationships that are not practical relationships, and the relationship goes well beyond that. And this is very deep. For example, when Eliezer had to bring a bride for Yitzchak, and he meets Rivka. He brings her a nose ring. Gam hayom anoshim af ashirim gedolim noigim liknes tzmidei zov kimaton l'nesheim. And now, and even today, wealthy people, they give jewelry as gifts to their wives. Now let's think about this. Al derech pshat, ein lezeh shum muvan. If you're trying to be practical, this makes no sense. Hari ha'erech ha'kaspi shel atzamid yachol lios ke'ayin uke'efes lumos osher harav shel abal. On the one hand, the financial value of this gift can be, you know, very little compared to the wealth, the abundant wealth of the person who's giving the gift. More than that, bifrat she'ein lezeh shimush masi. More than that, there's no practical use of it. Zerak tachshit. That's just an adornment. It's just jewelry. Something you could do with it except pay insurance on it. Right? And then get it lost. And I have to replace it. That's the only benefit it gives you. You know, V'od Marshall, let me give you another example. Tabas nisuin, a wedding ring. B'nei zug ha'nisuin kvar esrim shana. Let's say there's a couple married more than 20 years. Somebody comes over to the wife and says, I'd like to buy your wedding ring. Why? And suggests to the woman to sell it. Why? And because someone needs to finance a portion of the wedding expenses of her son. You're making a chasana, it's expensive, so sell me the ring and you have a little bit of money. The woman will not agree even if you're offering 20 times the price of the ring. And why is that? Even though in a practical way we can evaluate what that ring is worth, but symbolically he's shove a harbe yosem izeh. But symbolically, it is worth much, much more, and you cannot value it in gold. Zoi tabas asuim, that's a wedding ring. Yesh lezeh erech sheshovele in erech yoser memechir shalom. It has a value that goes well beyond what its actual value is. So what do we see from these examples? Haklal hu, the rule is, whenever the relationship is more in terms of a practical type of relationship, so the gifts are very practical. But if the relationship is much deeper than that, when the relationship is so deep that you can't explain it in words, as you find a relationship between family members. And that's the idea of the remes. You can only hint to what it really is. The word doesn't even define how deep the relationship is. So gama matanas trichas lias aldasa remes. So the gifts have to be symbolic as well. L'matanas ke'elu yesh oimek ein sefi. These presents have an infinite depth. There's no comparison in value between simple gifts that are given out of practicality versus those that are beyond practicality. So I think we understand that, when a husband's going to give a wife a gift, he's not going to, practical things she buys, you buy all year long, practical things. Right? So you don't give the wife for the anniversary a toaster. So we needed one. It's not going to do it. So you have to always try to be clever and to think of something to give her that she's going to like, that really is not worth anything, in a real scope of practical value. It doesn't have any value. So you have to give something. Sometimes it's a card that says nice words in it. And it might be worth more than any gift. So, and you have to always come up with clever ways. It could be a picture, this, that, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, when both parents die, kids will just take it and either sell it or get the money for it or throw it out. Or they may feel it's a family heirloom. Okay, so then they define it as something worth much more than what it is. But generally, to the degree that the relationship is a deep relationship and it's very difficult to define that relationship in a practical way. So the gifts will have to be just as impractical and reflect the depths of the relationship. And there's the feeling that's behind the gift is all so much more valuable than the gift that is there. And you don't want to quantify that relationship by giving a gift that is quantifiable in terms of its practicality. That's the essential idea that I think we all understand makes a lot of sense. So how are we going to apply this now as we take this into the relationship between us and Hashem? Moving on. We're in the middle of Reish Nun Zayin. Pshat v'remez v'keshem v'kadosh baruch hu. So now let's get to the idea of the practical and the symbolic relationship with Hashem. V'kach ha-kesher shalonu im ha-kadosh baruch hu, so too is our relationship with Hashem. Shezeu kol ha-Torah kulo. This is the entire Torah, is our relationship with Hashem. Yesh bo pshat v'yesh bo remez. There's the practical aspect of it and the deeper aspect of it. Hadavar ha'amar lo rak b'yachas l'matanas. And what we're talking about over here isn't only in relationship to gifts. El gabi kol ha-shayochas shalonu kadosh baruch hu. But it's dealing with all our connections that we have with Hashem. Hakol zeh b'derech shel pshat v'remez. It's all in the way of pshat, of practicality, and remez, and symbolism. V'kan yesh chalukah ben Yisrael amim. And here's where we draw the distinction between the Jewish people and the other nations of the world. Hamitzvah shenitnu l'goyim hein kulam al derech ha-pshat. The mitzvahs that Hashem gave the non-Jews, it's all in terms of practicality. Ula mashal, let's give an example. In other words, the relationship that the non-Jews have with Hashem is a very pragmatic relationship. Ula mashal, hey mitzuvim lo laharog, they're commanded not to kill. So a mitzvah al derech hapshat. It's a very practical mitzvah. Acheres, any other way, but not following that mitzvah, ha'olam yicharev, the world gets destroyed. So it's a very pragmatic mitzvah. Odei mitzuyim lo lignov. They're also commanded not to steal. Gam zekidei shlo yicharev olam. That's also the world doesn't get destroyed. V'amitzvah shalohem lichyos chayim mishpacha. Their mitzvah is to live a family type of life. In other words, a life where people can get along and live together. And all that, ki im ein chayim mishpacha hanoshis neresos. If there isn't normal getting along type of living, then the society gets destroyed. Kach gam l'gabe yevrin achai, so it also is against eating flesh of the living animal. Adam ha'ochel yevrin achai, machnes besocha, zorius kazu shofechas asol v'ema. Person who eats a living animal, he brings within himself a cruelty that turns him into becoming an animal instead of the person that he is. V'keina iser lavod avodah zarah, so it is the prohibition of idol worship. Because the whole reality of the world is a connection with Hashem. And if you don't have that connection, as we mentioned before, you have no reality. Without Hashem, the world will be destroyed. So what do we see from all this? They were dealing with the non-Jewish world. All the mitzvahs are very practical mitzvahs. In other words, you want to live in this world. Why do you want to live in this world? To live in this world. To have a nice, calm, peaceful life, to enjoy this world. So guess what? You have to realize that God is the king. The king gave certain rules, and you have to follow those rules if you want to live in his kingdom. And the main rule is, don't do anything that's destructive to this world. It's a very practical command, a pragmatic command. And the non-Jews of the world, their relationship with God is very practical. If a non-Jew would really bother to stop and think for a few minutes of what would be the best way that they could live a nice life in this world, what would be the nicest way to live in this world? Follow the seven Noahide laws. And not so much from a religious point of view, but from a practical point of view. God wanted the people in the world to enjoy this world, and it's a beautiful world to enjoy. You wouldn't be jealous of people, and you wouldn't steal from them, and you wouldn't take their wives, and you wouldn't do all these things. You'd live a moral life. You'd have a happy life. Not like the destroyed world that we see today. Right? So, and if you just understand that I'm the one who's giving it to you, and thank me for giving it to you, you don't have to have such a close, loving relationship with God. Not just don't have to love God. You have to respect God, that's all. And know that there's a God, and listen to what he says. And guess what? It's for your benefit. It's a very practical relationship with God. That's how the non-Jews live. Okay. Ach Eitzel, going on to the top of Reish and Ches. Ach Eitzel am Yisrael la'avdol, rov ha-mitzvah sein al derech ha-remes. When we talk about the Jewish people, and not to compare them to the non-Jews, most of the mitzvahs are impractical mitzvahs from the practical perspective. What do we mean? Mitzvahs me'asuk hazeh hem amukim lein tachlis v'shir mi'mitzvah shein al derech ha-pshat. The mitzvahs of this category that are not quote-unquote practical mitzvahs, they are much deeper beyond any limit from the other mitzvahs that are the practical mitzvahs. HaMitzvah shel Yisrael hem bituyim amukim. The mitzvahs that the Jewish people do, they are deep expressions. Shemashmo sholem shayechas rak ben shnei gufim o yeshuyos sheyesh b'neim av amukha. That the implications of the connection can only be between two bodies, two entities that have a very deep love between them. Zoya Ava ben Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the love that the Jewish people have for Hashem. Let's give a few examples to explain what we mean when we're saying this. It's a very wonderful idea here and really answers some very fundamental questions that secular Jews ask about mitzvahs. You know, they ask, you know, what do you do? Some of these mitzvahs just don't make any sense to me. Take the four species and shake them around. It doesn't do anything for me. Yeah, I understand. You know, honor your parents. Don't kill. In other words, all the practical mitzvahs, they understand. Good midos, they understand that, right? But shake a little nesek, how does that make sense? What does it do for my relationship? What does it do for me being a Jew? So you got to hear the question. What's the secular Jew saying? What's the practical benefits of doing these things? It doesn't make any sense. So what you're supposed to do? Turn around to that person and say, "Do you give your wife a ring? You ever give her a ring? You ever give her jewelry? Yeah. Why? Why? It doesn't make any sense. What do you get out of it?" So what are you talking about? I love my wife. So what is it? So what is it? So when you love your wife, you do stupid things? This is how you'd engage a non-Jew, a Jew who doesn't appreciate your shit. So I'm saying, because you love your wife, you do stupid things. You're going to spend $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on a brooch when you could do something very practical with it. What are you doing? Are you a moron? So what's the guy going to answer? What are you talking about? Are you insulting my wife? I love her. So why are you buying something so impractical? Because she likes it. What do you mean she likes it? What's there to like? It's just something that's sticking on your dress. But what is it? You're trying to give something that is not expressible. To focus on something that's not totally not expressible. So you understand there's something to give jewelry. So maybe did you ever dawn on you that you could have such a relationship with God? And those are the things that are expressing the deepest part of that relationship. And because they're so not practical, that's they're going to such a deep aspect of defining and appreciating that relationship, right? That's the issue, and that's what he's going to talk about. Our boss aminim, when you give the four species heim remozim, those are symbolic. Priets hadar horemes lelev, the esrog is a symbolism to the heart. Kapas tamorim and the lulav. Hashedra, the spine, Hadassim, Eloi, Naim, the Hadassim are the eyes, and the Aravas are the lips. Anunokli min Elo, we take all these species, Ukiviyachal, Shesami, Musmechim, Yachem, Kadosh Baruch, and as it were, we take joy together with Hashem. Right? To show that my eyes and my heart and my primary organs, they're all for you, Hashem. So lo al derech pshat, this is not a practical type of mitzvah. Ha'emek shel ha-mitzvah hu kulo remes. The depth of it is all just symbolic in nature to show that there's an incredibly deep relationship that goes on between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? If you love someone, you do things that aren't practical. They're the things that are meant to bring out and show your commitment and love towards that person. Mitzvah sachilas matzah. The mitzvah of eating some matzah. Hu remez liyetzias Mitzrayim. It's symbolic of going out of Egypt. Zehu bitui lelechtech achrai b'midbar. It's an expression of our devotion that we had to Hashem, that we went, as the Navi says, komar Hashem. Hashem says, the whole pasuk, hafti lo chesed nurayich. I love and I remember the love of our youth when we were first married. They went after me into a desert. You didn't even know where you were going to go, and you just, you know, the matzahs didn't have any time to bake. You just went, because I said, let's go. I said, okay, dear, I'll go with you. I trust you. And that's what eating a matzah on Pesach really says. You trust God. Right? And that's what a relationship has to be based on, trust. If there's no trust in a relationship, there is no relationship. And every time you eat matzah, it's called machal d'may menusa. It's the food of faith. Because really, when you're eating that matzah, it didn't have time to arise. We just went. So we showed our faith in Hashem. Every time you eat a piece of matzah on Pesach, you're saying how much you love Hashem, how much you trust Hashem. Is there anything practical to that? You know, how often would a wife want to see from her husband an expression of trust in her? Right? And that's this kind of gift expresses that trust. Shofar, we talk about a shofar. This would be a good alternative class for the holidays, you know. Just got to package it a little differently. Rosh Hashanah Omer Abal Tokea Im Keren Shel Ayil Umezazeas Kisei HaKovod. And Rosh Hashanah, the Abal Tokea blows the ram's horn, and as it were, he shakes the throne of glory. Pshuto Kemashmo, as simple as I just said it. You got to understand for a minute. Ma'al Sod Koshel Shofar. What is the mysterious power of the shofar? What's this idea of blowing a shofar in Rosh Hashanah? How is it that by blowing the notes of the shofar, as it were, we move God off of the throne of judgment and we move him onto the throne of compassion and mercy? Let's give an analogy to a very strong and powerful, mighty warrior who sits on a great throne. Nobody can move him off that throne. He's the king of the mountain. Nobody can push him forcibly to get him off of that throne. Ulam, however, in Bino HaKotan, Ben Shnasayim, if he has a little kid, his own kid, is 2 years old. Yipo Mafanayim, he falls off his bike. He puts a kalos and gets a bit of a cut and hurts himself a little bit. Take him a miyad, Yisroimim Gibor Zemikiso. Right away, the warrior gets off of the throne. Havi Yomer, let me ask you a question. Who was able to get this strong guy off of the throne? Who's the strong guy that got him off of the throne? Who pushed him off? Tino cut and bench Nassim, a little kid that was 2 years old, got him off the throne. Is that strong that little 2 year old is? This is what the shofar really means. Hashofar kol tzaaka, kol dibur. The shofar is the voice of crying out. The voice of speech. When a Jew cries out such a tearful cry, so God, as it were, gets off of the throne of judgment. That's what it is. That's the gift you're giving God. What's so practical about blowing a shofar? What's a shofar do for me? I don't feel any more inspired. Because you don't understand it. There's subtleties to all these mitzvahs that are really defining a very deep, intense relationship. To know that no matter what, if you cry out to God, He's going to get off of that throne of glory. If you really cry out to Him, that's what it really means. Because He loves you so much, even though you deserve to get hit a million times. He says, just cry out to me. And you know, you're like a little kid, I'll come running to you. Zel Aymek Shel HaTorah. This is the depth of Torah. HaTorah Hi Ahava. The Torah really is just an expression of love. the mitzvahs in the Torah that we do, they're all expressions of that love that exists between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is the defining love between us and Hashem. That is what makes that connection between us and Hashem. And every action just expresses that love that we have between us and Hashem. So if you love someone, you don't do things that are practical. That you do with the nanny. You don't do that with your wife. Right? So that's a very important idea. Ulam yesh gan tzad sheni lematbea. But there's also another side of the coin. Lu'umas ava, you know, juxtaposed to the love, Yesh Rachmon Lutzman Matzav Shel Eureka. Eureka, whatever. There's God for a situation, I hope I'm translating correctly, of spitting. I think that's what it means, spitting. Good old fashioned spitting. I think that's what it means. Ube emes kesher adam yoyrek al zulaso. If somebody taka spits on somebody, ain kanezek muchashi. How much monetary damage is there when you spit at somebody? Did you hurt him? Do we have nezek? Tsar? Ripui, Shevis. Do you have 4 out of the 5 types of damage when you spit on somebody? Right? No. Well, I'm real sales when I say that, because your Adam Yoriko Chavera said, Oyim Venoira, but if, in spite of that, if you spit on somebody, that has awesome implications. That's, you're going to be enemies for life. Okay, we've got the Boshes. So, that, in other words, you love somebody, and the other, you spit at somebody. Right? Elaine, you know, that's unbelievable. It, like, the worst thing you could do to somebody is to spit at somebody. Or anything else that fits into that category of spitting at somebody, insulting them or whatever. You know, any type of boshes, any type of embarrassment and showing disdain for somebody else, which again, is not practical. You know, let's say a guy comes and he lifts your wallet. And you have $50,000 in the wallet. Okay, you're not exactly thrilled with that guy. You're not happy with that guy. And you lost a lot of money. But the shame and embarrassment doesn't come close to spitting in the guy's face. Right? It's possible to restore a relationship easier if you stole $50,000 from somebody than if you spit in his face. Right? So, Leila Ladas, we've got to think for a minute. Mi shabaleyes, mi lois habrocha, veinu mevata ha'osios, kemo shetzarich. Somebody who swallows up the words of a bracha and doesn't express the letters the way you're supposed to say a bracha properly. Zohi Eureka. This is a spitting. You're spitting at God. So ain't a bracha levatola. We wouldn't even dignify it to call it a bracha levatola, a blessing in vain. Zeklalo bracha. It's not even a bracha. You know, if you had 2 foods in front of you, and you had a piece of bread, and you had a drink of water, and you make a moitzi, and then you drink make a moitzi on the bread, and then a shahak on the water, we call that a bracha levatola. It's a wasted blessing. You're saying nice words to God, but God says, I don't need it. You already thanked me enough for this. For this meal, you've thanked me enough. Right? So it's a bracha levatola. Okay. You know, so you're not supposed to thank too much either, but at least it was thanking. When a guy goes, and then take that drink of water. It's not even a bracha levatol. It's not even a bracha. You're spitting in God's face. Hakadosh Baruch Hu oev osanu. Hashem loves us. Uma'anek osanu. And He takes delight with us. B'chol tov shelo. And He gives us delight in every good thing in this world. V'mechake u'metzape kivyochol shenemer loy toido. He's waiting and anxiously looking forward to, as it were, we just say to Hashem, thank you. That's all He's waiting for. As it were, He's waiting for our connection, our relationship. If instead of thanking God for the good that He does for us, through a blessing that said word for word, slowly and carefully, blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, because you love me so much that everything was created by your word. Everything in this world, every single thing you did for me. So instead of, you know, giving God a gift, a nice little diamond ring, a nice thank you, right? And quite often those are the most precious gifts, are the words you say to thank someone. Anubolim, although they're not practical at all. Anubolim es milos habracha, we swallow up the words of the bracha. Hare shekilu amrim lo, you know what it's like you're saying when you go, Rabbi Yisrael, ain't li zman l'dabar itcha. God, I got no time to speak to you. Whoa. You know, it's exactly what it is. Bracha zu kivyachol neshika. Such a bracha, as it were, a real proper bracha, right, is a kiss. A real nice bracha is a kiss. Uneshika ze habitu hachi omuk la'ava sheish ba'olam. And a kiss, we know, is the greatest, deepest expression that a person has for love in this entire world. Bizarre is that Nikro, how does the Zohar define a kiss? Istabek rucha berucha. It is bonding one wind with another wind, one spirit with another spirit. Really, what's inside you, that the breath, that's the deepest part of you, of who, of what you are. As one breath, so to speak, intermingling with another breath, it's combining the depths of two people. Gam Shabbos Kodesh Zu Neshika, keeping Shabbos is a kiss. And what does that mean? Ani oyev es HaKadosh Baruch Hu im kol ha-metziyah sheli. I love Hashem with everything I got. Shabbos Kodesh comes along. I'm a busy guy. I'm a popular guy and an important guy. I make big decisions in this world. A lot of people depend on me. I get a lot of cover from a lot of things. And all of a sudden, it's coming Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Mavsikin es kol mahalach ha-chaim. The entire natural way of my life stops. V'chaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all I do now is live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh amal shel Shabbos Kodesh. That is the essence of Shabbos, as it says in Shir HaShirim, Yiyashkeni min Hashikas Piyu. Kiss me, please, from the kiss of your lips. Right? Ha'olam kula batal. The whole world ceases to exist. Ein olam, ein chadoshes, ein parnasa, yesh rak Hashem Yisbarach. There's no world. There's nothing to read in the newspaper. That's why you don't read newspapers on Shabbos. There's no making a living. There's just one thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, me and Hashem. V'zoh neshika, that's a kiss. That's all it is. When you're kissing somebody, right, that's all you're supposed to be thinking about. Right? They're having advertisements now on TV about, you know, you have to be careful when you're driving not to get too lovey-dovey with the person in the car next to you so you don't get into accidents and things like that. I guess it's to teenagers, you know, that they should keep your eye on the road and not on the person you're trying to be loving with, right? It's not the place. Car isn't the place, you know. It's not the place, right? So same idea. When you're giving someone a kiss, you're hopefully only thinking of the person you're kissing at this time, right? And Shabbos is the biggest kiss in the world. It's the biggest kiss in the world. That defines a Jew, right? L'chein. Shabbos is a mitzvah hachi chashuva b'Torah. That's why Shabbos is the most important mitzvah in the entire Torah. That's how we define a Jew. If a Jew doesn't keep Shabbos, as far as we're concerned, he's not a shomer Torah mitzvah. You know, and that's why there are many who are machmer. It's not a din. Those are machmer. You don't eat from people. They don't trust the kashrus if someone doesn't keep Shabbos. There are those who are machmer if they touch your wine, not to drink. That's not the halacha. But that's the chumra that many, many people take. In other words, if that person can't kiss HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that person doesn't love Hashem, how do I know they care about anything of this Torah? If they can't keep Shabbos. That's the defining mitzvah that defines what a Jew is. Ki zoi hagdor shel kol mitzvah shel Yehudi. This is the definition of the reality of every Jew. So kesher shel ava shemizbata de'aremes. This is a connection, a love connection that is can only be expressed symbolically. So it is when you make a bracha. We stop that flow of life, the hustle and bustle of life. And we admit and praise the creator of the entire world. So this is the definition of how a Jew lives as opposed to how a non-Jew lives. Right? And that's why I was talking about Shabbos in alternative class. How important is it to realize that Jews and non-Jews don't mix? You know, there's this idea of ecumenism in the world, that we can all serve God together. We cannot serve God together because we have a different relationship with God. The rest of the world has a pragmatic, practical relationship with God, and everything has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, we don't do it. Right, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our relationship with Him is so deep, with such a deep love relationship, most of the things we do don't make any sense, and they're not pragmatic. Yes, you have a few pragmatic mitzvahs. Yeah, you can't steal, you can't do those things, because, yeah, you know, there is also a pragmatic way of understanding things. But even then, when you're going to do those pragmatic things, it's going to come out of a deeper love and not out of pragmatics. It's a whole different mindset. You know, it's okay. So a wife cooks dinner for her husband, and her husband goes to work for the wife. So there's two ways to look at that. On the one hand, that's a pretty pragmatic gift. The husband has to work, has to take care of the wife, you know, and the wife cooks. So now how do we define this relationship? That doesn't mean that the husband loves the wife at all and the wife loves the husband at all. It means it's a convenient business relationship that they have going on here. I have needs, you take care of my needs, I'll take care of your needs. It's a quid pro quo. You take care of my needs, I take care of your needs, and I'm going to keep a scorecard of this to make sure I'm not giving more than I'm receiving, right? And the marriage can be a very pragmatic relationship. Very little love in there. So what does that mean? So stop doing the pragmatic things. No, you don't stop doing the pragmatic things. But you have to do the things that are not pragmatic. You have to do those things that symbolically show how deep the love goes, and you have to do things that are of no value at all from a practical point of view. Why? You know, let's go for a walk. Why? We have to go for a walk for. We don't accomplish anything by going for a walk. No, you know, spend time together. That's part of showing how much you love each other, right? So those are these little gifts, doing things that, you know, that don't really make a lot of sense. Those are the things that show that you love the person. And then when you're going to do the practical things, then that's going to be reflecting the love and not the practicality of the relationship. So even those practical parts of mitzvahs are only meant to be done as expressions of love as well. Then they become expressions of love. So the Jew and the non-Jew can both not murder, right? But one is doing it because they love HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and the other one is doing it practically because he wants to be able to get what he can from God and get what he can from that relationship. So that's two different ways of looking at the relationship and therefore the gifts that we give and the mitzvahs that we do. Okay? So now that it's a very outstanding piece that he just did today. It's an outstanding, it has nothing to do with the 3 weeks yet, but it's an outstanding piece because the truth of the matter is that's the whole idea of the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is, where's our relationship with God? If we had a good, if we had this relationship with God, we would never have been a Chorban. Right? Problem is, we're spitting at Hashem too much. When you spit at Hashem too much, then there's no relationship anymore. Right? And those are really the things that we have to really focus on during the 3 weeks, to stop spitting at Hashem. And all the things that define spitting at Hashem. It's not just Shabbos, it's not just swallowing up brachas, you know, but that's part of it, you know. My wife was in Cleveland for my great nephew's bar mitzvah, so she was in shul, and it's a typical young Israel type of shul, you know, maybe even a little better than the typical young Israel shul, and you know, like there was that feeling of tension in the room if you wanted to daven, you know, it was like, you know, yeah, that somebody brings in a little child, and the little child, you know, wanders on their own in the shul and climbs up all the steps to go up to the Aron HaKodesh and starts jumping and doing cartwheels in front of the rabbi there. So rabbi's a very nice guy. So he, you know, with a big smile, he picks up the little baby and brings to the mother and smiles and kind of says, you know, get your kid out of here, you know, but it doesn't, you know, in a nice way. And the kid's screaming and yelling, you know. And it's like, you know, we got to hurry up the davening because, you know, the faster it goes, then the better chance, you know, we'll get through with this and maybe it won't be so noisy. So it's like this tension for those who wanted to daven. It's like, so you know, you have such a davening. It's like you're spitting at the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And this, you know, and you go to typical shuls, you just go to them, why don't you stop spitting at Hashem already? You know, and all the other things, you know, getting your mitzvahs done over with quickly. You know, quickly going through a Friday night meal so you can go to bed on Shabbos. So you're spitting at a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm not saying we're tired and And, you know, but still, there's ways to do things. You know, as soon as Shabbos is over, I'm out. I'm gone. Different ways in which we go through our Yiddishkeit, which are constantly saying, I'm spitting at you. Now what was the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash was the honeymoon retreat. The little, you know, the getaway. You know, everyone's looking to go on vacations now, so what's the big selling point? You know, oh, romantic getaway, secluded, away from everybody. You know, so, and you pay a lot of money for that. To not be with anybody else. That, you know, it's unbelievable what people will spend, you know, for these cottages in the Hamptons. You know, $10,000 a week and up. You know, just to be secluded away from everybody. People pay a lot of money for that. If they like their spouse. If they don't, they want to go to New York to be with a million people instead. but the Beis HaMikdash, that was, you know, it's just us and Hashem. That's it. You're far away from the maddening crowd. And the Beis HaMikdash, that reflects how deep is our relationship and how much would you like to only be with Hashem and nobody else. So obviously, the Jewish people weren't that way. And, you know, they were bringing korbanos. You know, so what were you bringing korbanos for? The Navi was saying, I don't need your korbanos. Right? Just bring one korban after another. You can imagine, and, you know, okay, I'm planning on doing, you know, five sins this week. So I'm going to buy five bulls. You know, to cover my bases. So after I finish sinning, I'll bring those korbanos. So Hashem is saying, stop spitting in my face in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the direction he's going to take this. And that's how we're going to understand as we get to korbanos now. Now that we understand the idea of the relationship and the gift giving, then we'll begin to appreciate where korbanos fits into this as we'll continue tomorrow, Mirtzah Hashem.